Good morning. It's a joy to speak to you today in the name of Jesus Christ. I hope you're praising God and serving God and loving your neighbor as yourself. Today we're talking about Jesus Christ. The Gospels tell us that Jesus was baptized at the age of 30, and then he immediately went into the wilderness, being led by the Spirit to be tempted by Satan. And then after that, he began his ministry of preaching and teaching, healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out demons, multiplying loaves and fishes, giving strength to the paralyzed, and sight to the blind, and hearing to the deaf. Jesus spent about a year in Judea around Jerusalem, preaching and teaching, according to the Gospel of John, chapters 1 to 3. And then he moved into the area of Galilee. Now, Galilee is a region about 25 miles by 40 miles. It's a small geographical area. But here Jesus, in his old hometown of Nazareth, and having moved his family and himself to Capernaum, which was on the northwest shore of the Sea of Galilee, not very far from Nazareth. And the Bible tells us about Jesus's first and last time to come to Nazareth. Now, Jesus is called Jesus of Nazareth because even though he was born in Bethlehem, he spent 30 years of his life in Nazareth as a carpenter's son, growing up under the tutelage of Joseph, and even being called the carpenter one time in the gospel. And at the age of 30, he hears the call of God on his life, walks 75 miles to the Jordan River in the south, where John the Baptist, his cousin, was baptizing. So Jesus now comes to Nazareth. And you've read the scripture here in Luke chapter 4, verses 14 to 30, of what happened on that fateful day. Jesus comes to the synagogue. The word synagogue simply means a gathering place, an assembly. It was a community activity center of religious teaching and school and community events. And every community that had at least 10 men had a synagogue. And Jesus comes to the synagogue. And the Bible says he was often teaching in the synagogues throughout Galilee. And the Bible says that he came to the synagogue and it was the Sabbath day. Now, the Sabbath day is the seventh day of the week. It's the day in Genesis chapter 1 that God rested on the seventh day. And so when God brought the Israelites out of the land of Egypt, he sanctified and blessed that day because they had been delivered from bondage. And he said that on the Sabbath day that they were to rest. And that's one of the Ten Commandments, the fourth one. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. So the Jews in the time of Jesus assembled for worship on the Sabbath day in the synagogue. Now their service in the synagogue was much like ours. In fact, the church of the New Testament was modeled after the synagogue. There was psalm singing. There was a contribution for the poor. And there was preaching and teaching. There was fellowship and love expressed. There was a reading of scripture. And any male could give the sermon. And sometimes they called upon a visitor to speak. So Jesus, having come here now to his old hometown, he's recognized. The people know him. He lived there for 30 years. And so he is asked to speak. Now, the Bible says he was handed the book of Isaiah, the prophet, chapter 61. And he read from the scriptures. And the scriptures there say, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has appointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." So Jesus stands up in the synagogue and reads the scripture. The Jews always stood to read the scripture, and then they sat down to teach. And so after Jesus had read from Isaiah chapter 61, the Bible says he gave the scroll back to the person in charge of the scrolls. And then he sat down, and every eye in the synagogue was upon him. They were looking at Jesus. His family members were there. His cousins were there. His old playmates and classmates who could remember when they attended the synagogue school together and play in the streets, they were there. And they were all wondering what this hometown boy, now a man, would say to his old acquaintances. And Jesus began by saying, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." So Jesus takes the words of Isaiah and refers them to himself. The Spirit of the Lord is upon him. The Lord has anointed him. The Lord has appointed him to bring good news, to bind up the brokenhearted. It is the Lord's work in his life then. So Jesus is preaching and teaching. He is helping the poor, ministering to them physically and spiritually. Jesus is the Son of God who cared about people, who met their needs, who never had a failed miracle, who never denied anyone help, even though he was a very busy person. So the ministry of Jesus was accomplished largely in Galilee and Samaria and Judea. And this is what he's about. And this is what we're about too, because we're followers of Jesus. And we preach and teach the kingdom of God. And we give people joy and hope and peace and life through the good news of God. Now, Jesus made a hometown impression on these folks. They marveled at his wisdom and his teaching. They enjoyed his preaching. The Bible says they were all marveling and said, "What great words had come from this man." So they probably shook his hand, patted him on the back, told him what a good job he did. But then something happened. Something happened that changed their mind. Some of the worshipers began to wrinkle their brow. They began to scratch their heads. They began to murmur among themselves, "Isn't this the carpenter's son, the son of Joseph? Don't we know his brothers and his sisters? And where did he get all this wisdom and knowledge? Well, he's a hometown boy. He's never been away to rabbinical school. What makes him think that he is the fulfillment of all these prophetic words? Isn't he acting a little uppity to claim all this for himself? I think he's being a little arrogant and egotistical to say that he's God's servant." Well, Jesus can read the congregation. You know, a preacher can read his audience. He can look out and tell who's listening, who's not, who's sleeping, who's ignoring what he's saying, who's scrolling through their iPhone. Jesus knew these people better than they knew themselves. So he looked at them and said, "Now you're looking at me and you're thinking, you don't look so sharp and so smart yourself. Now, if you were God's servant, you would not have grown up in this hill country, and you would not have hands, rough hands, like a carpenter does. You don't look like what we expected. You're not what we've been hoping for." And then Jesus continued, "You heard of all the miracles I did in Capernaum? You're thinking, well, why don't you do them here? Show us your stuff. Come on now, if this is true, prove it to us." And Jesus speaks and gives two examples from the past. He tells about Elijah and Elisha who ministered in that very area of Galilee and Samaria some 800 years before this. He points out that these prophets were prophets of God's people, but they did miracles for non-Jewish people. The Jewish people were at that time worshiping idols. They were untrue to God. They weren't listening to God. They weren't following the prophets. And these prophets did miracles for non-Jews. Elijah In his time, it didn't rain for 3.5 years. And God told Elijah to leave Israel and go to Zarephath in Sidon, outside the country, and live with a woman and her son there. And he came to that village and he found a woman who was on the brink of starvation. And he made it possible for her oil to never run out and for her meal bucket to never go dry. And so he saved the life of that woman and that family. He didn't do it for the Jewish people. He did it for the non-Jew. And then he tells about Elisha, who succeeded Elijah. And Elijah took care of a leper. Now, there were many lepers in Israel, but it was not an Israelite leper he healed. It was a non-Jewish leper from Samaria. And the Bible says that Naaman was an army in the army of the Canaanites, and he had leprosy, an infectious skin disease. And Naaman was cleansed immediately. And there were many Israelites who had skin diseases that were not cleansed. So Jesus emphasizes, look, you are Jews, but you're not listening to God's word. You're doubting, you're questioning me. But I want you to know this is the way it's been in your history. For those two great prophets, Elijah and Elisha, ministered to non-Jews and did miracles for them because your ancestors wouldn't listen to the word of God. And so when the people heard this, they broke up the church. They rushed upon Jesus in their wrath and they threw him out of the synagogue. That means they didn't even finish their prayers and their service. Jesus got thrown out of church that day. A few minutes before, they were praising him. Now they wanted to kill him. They did not like the message, so they wanted to kill the messenger. Luke does not give us all the details, but some way Jesus escaped from their midst. But their rejection was final because Jesus never went back to Nazareth. Now, why was this church crowd so mad at Jesus? Well, first, they were full of themselves. They had the Jewish ancestry pride. They had blue blood relatives. They had their traditions and their rules and their heritage. And they could not stand the thought of God accepting other people, especially the heathen, the people of the nations, the Gentiles. But Jesus was true to his mission and his message. And he announced that the good news of the kingdom would be for all people everywhere. Remember, even when he was a baby, that Simeon in the temple said about him, "For my eyes have seen your salvation that you prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." Remember that John the Baptist had preached that all flesh shall see the salvation of God. That included the Gentiles. So Jesus is hated because people wanted God to be their God and only their God. They had an exclusivistic view of God. And you remember in Acts chapter 22 that the Apostle Paul was making his defense and talking about his ministry, and they were listening very well until he came to one sentence and one word, and he said, "And God called me to go preach to the Gentiles." And when he said the word Gentiles, the crowd immediately erupted and tried to take him by force to destroy him. Well, that's the first reason that they rejected Jesus. The second reason is because he dared compare them to the apostate Jews of the time of Elijah and Elisha and said that they had the same mentality and mindset and lifestyle of those people. They would not listen to Elijah and Elisha, and they wouldn't listen to Jesus. You know, Stephen, the first Christian martyr in Acts the 7th chapter was killed for the very same reason. Because he pointed out their sins of being stubborn, rebellious, and stiff-necked against God. Well, Jesus got thrown out of church. It's right there in the Bible. Well, what are you going to take from this lesson today? I hope that you take, first of all, that not everybody liked Jesus. Some people loved him, but remember, others crucified him. And remember that it was the most religious people on earth that put him on the cross. It wasn't the prostitutes and the sinners and the adulterers, the murderers who nailed him to the cross. It was the church-going crowd. It was the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Herodians and all the other groups of Jewish leaders who put Jesus on the cross. What's that say to us? We're not going to be liked either if we follow Jesus. You know, you can go on the college campus today and you can say that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And you'll be laughed at, you'll be mocked, you'll be blasphemed, you'll be spit upon, you'll be run off the campus. Why? Because, oh, you can believe in God, but Jesus puts a face on God and makes God very specific, very plain. In one man, God revealed himself. And so we who are Christ followers will be rejected. Not everybody's going to like us. There are people that are going to fight against us. They're going to write us up. They're going to condemn us in the media. They're going to talk about Christians and their values while they enjoy what the Bible calls sinful lifestyles and follow sinful values and attitudes. So, what are you going to take from this lesson? Not everybody's going to like you. If you follow Jesus, you're following a man that went to a cross. And Jesus said, if anyone would follow me, let him take up his cross. And that's exactly what we do as Christ followers. The second thing I hope you'll take from this lesson is that there are people who are religious, who are sitting in church, who might praise the preacher one Sunday and be ready to fire him the next Sunday. You see, this congregation in Nazareth loved Jesus as long as he did not cross them or violate their traditions or their understandings. It was people that had the temple, that had the law, the worship of God, that crucified Jesus, that threw him out of church. You see, religion does not always equal righteousness. Truth is more important than popularity. Now, what do you love the most? Do you love our traditions and our way of doing things? Or do you have an open heart and an open mind to say, well, what does God say? And if God's word condemns me and pricks my heart and brings me to repentance, praise his name. Because I want the truth, and I want God more than I want life. And I want to be humble, and I want to listen. You know, Isaiah 66 and verse 2 says, this is the one to whom I will look, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. So the Jews threw Jesus out of church that day because not everybody liked him and because even the religious people rejected him. But the third thing that I hope that you'll take from this lesson is that you'll want to follow Jesus, that you'll have his mission and his message, that you will preach and teach the kingdom of God no matter what, that you will go about ministering to people that nobody else ministers to or cares about. You see, Jesus, the Bible says, went to the poor, the captives, the blind, and the oppressed. Now, working with people like that does not necessarily make you look good or improve your prestige in the community. Those are the people that are marginalized. Many of them are disenfranchised. Society today loves the rich and the famous, the celebrities, the popular, the shakers and makers of society. But Jesus calls us to minister to everyone, including those that are not like us. If a Muslim moves next door to you, how are you going to treat them? If a person of a different race wants to sit next to you in church, what are you going to do? If a person who speaks a different language comes to church, are you going to welcome them with the love of Jesus? If a homeless person knocks on your door and asks if he can rake your leaves or mow your yard or weed your flower bed for a free meal, what are you going to do? If some people from other churches in town ask you to have a Bible study with them or pray with them, are you going to go? What are you going to do? There are many people that are not with us today because many have chosen other lifestyles and they're negligent in their duty to Christ, even though they've been baptized. And the Lord calls us to minister to these people, to love them with the love of Jesus, to go and seek the lost sheep. This lesson should show us then that there are no perfect preachers in the world, and even the world's perfect preacher was despised and oppressed. Jesus never preached a false doctrine. Jesus never left a thing unsaid that God intended to be proclaimed. Jesus never made a mistake. Jesus never misjudged a person. Jesus never mistreated a person. Jesus was absolutely without reservation pleasing to God in his entire ministry and his life. Jesus had the sincerest desire for the best welfare of every soul. And Jesus never once said or did a thing to hinder a soul in view of the need of forgiveness and a blessing of everlasting life. And Jesus won many converts. He lost many followers. He was loved, adored, praised, and worshiped. And he was hated, envied, despised, and murdered. He is an example for all preachers and for all believers. He will never be surpassed or equaled or closely approached. There has never been anyone like Jesus. And yet, they threw him out of church. The lesson for us today, then, is to follow Jesus with all of our heart, soul, and mind, and to go out and preach and teach and visit and care and love and minister to everyone, everywhere, because God's church and the followers of Christ are an international, multi-ethnic fellowship of believers. We are to have love and fellowship for every human being who wants to follow Jesus Christ. And for those who don't, we still love them and care for them. Do you have a heart for people? Jesus did. And God's grace is for all people, all races, regardless of gender, age, color, language, nationality, ethnic background, occupation, or social status. We're to love as God loves. We're to serve others with the same compassion, mercy, and gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to be faithful followers of Jesus, to love him with all of our hearts, to love him more than we love ourselves, and our faith to be more precious than our very life. Help us, O Lord, to remember that he was thrown out of church. He was not always accepted, and we may not be either. But we're to be faithful unto the end, and we shall receive the crown of life. Thank you for being with us today and always. In Jesus' name, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.